When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here we go. 0.5. Enough for a catch and shoot. Dickinson will put it in. Here's the catch. Here's the shot. Wagner off the glass. No! UCLA from the first four to the final four. The Bruins of UCLA advancing to the final four for the first time since 2008.
And the first team from the first four since VCU in 2011. That was Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network with the call in UCLA. You can't call them Cinderella, because their coach makes like, you know, $3, $4 million, whatever it is, and it's a historically great university. But what you can say is this has been an historically unprecedented run. This was a UCLA team that I missed the boat on. I'm being honest with you. I told you guys from the beginning of the show, I will be as transparent as possible. They were losers of three of their last four games going into the NCAA tournament. I didn't pick them to beat Michigan State. I thought it was going to be a good game, but I didn't even pick them to beat them. And then riding through this tournament, I kept thinking the other shoe was going to fall. It hasn't. UCLA has been awesome. They're playing great defense. Now, what's interesting about this is you got kind of polar opposites, right? Like, both teams have covered the spread in every game they played. That's nuts. But Gonzaga is blowing out the spread. Gonzaga is the best team in the world. We know that. But on one night, all it takes is a bad stretch of 10, 15 minutes. If that happens, UCLA can hang around. Now, UCLA is one of the best teams defensively in transition, as per Ken Pom. On the flip side, you've got a Gonzaga team that's great out in transition, and they've got a future lottery pick in Jalen Suggs.
I mean, it's great. You know, it's hard not to think about. You know, we try our best to, you know, kind of keep our minds on it, off of it, and stay focused, you know, on the task at hand. But I mean, it's a great accomplishment, you know, to be mentioned with those teams, because they're amazing. But again, we just come in every day to play to the Gonzaga standard, you know, and for each other. And I mean, this is the result that we get from that. So, you know, we're not chasing anybody or anything. We're just coming in trying to get better every day and have fun with each other.
I wonder what the text exchange was from Paige Beckers and Jalen Suggs. They grew up in the same town, went to the same schools, and both were in the Final Four. Obviously, Paige Beckers and UConn fell last night, and, you know, Jalen Suggs and Gonzaga will play tonight. I want to read you some numbers. So, Gonzaga, the highest two-point percentage in KenPom at 63.7% ever right now. Ever. And then you've got them as top-rated offense as per KenPom as well. As for UCLA, again, let's talk about those transition numbers. 52nd in America in limiting transition opportunities. They're in the 92nd percentile in defense, in transition attempts. All of these numbers say, Gonzaga's going to cover. They're just too good. They are. I hate doubting UCLA. And I know there's people out there that are going to get angry at me for continuing to doubt UCLA. I got to roll with Gonzaga. They win. They cover. They are just too darn good. Mark Few is going to get his title. Oh, maybe I shouldn't do that yet. Maybe I shouldn't tell you if they get their title. Welcome in our radio audience. Keith Irizarry, Betting Around the Rim, rolling with you right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, MSG Networks, the streaming devices. So many ways to get in touch with us and to watch and to listen. Next game on the slate is actually the earlier game, and I think this is going to be more competitive. Houston and Baylor. This is another one where these two teams do kind of similar things, but one does them better. So Houston can score, and they play good defense. Baylor, one of the best offenses in America, and a top five efficiency team on defense. Baylor is blowing people out. They beat Arkansas, Villanova, Wisconsin. Those are three really good wins. On the Houston side of things, I don't want to diminish what the Cougars have done. So don't think that I'm doing that when I say this next thing. But they beat an 11 seed and a 12 seed, and they came within a bucket of losing to Rutgers in the round of 32. Houston is really, really good. And I love Kelvin Sampson. You guys know that. I've told you that. I've covered that team. I've been around that team in the past. Obviously not this year during the pandemic. If Houston wins this game, it's because Jared Butler, Macy Oteague, Davion Mitchell, two out of three of those guys have bad nights. And it's because Houston gets an all-time night from Quentin Grimes. Houston gets an all-time defensive night, and they hit their outside shots. I think this is a game where, for Houston, things have to be as close to perfect as possible, and Baylor has to have an off night. I think the under is the play here. Both of these teams have been playing under 130-ish on the total. And what's the number? Like 134 and a half, something like that right now. The under is the play. Baylor is the play on the money line. If you believe that, you know, Houston can kind of hang a little bit, maybe you say they can, depending on where you're shopping, five and a half, six and a half, whatever the point total is. I like Baylor to win. I like when all is said and done, we get Baylor versus Gonzaga. The two best teams in America will meet on Monday night. More next. Keith Irizarry, Betting Around the Rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back here, Betting Around the Rim. It is Keith Irizarry right here on the MSG Network, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, and our streaming devices. Everyone loves it. I love it. We give you a little top 10 list, try to mix it up a little bit. I put on my glasses, try to get all intellectual for you. It's roll call time. The professor is in the house. All right, so this week with March Madness, you know, winding down on Monday, got me thinking about some of the young players in the NBA. Not all of these guys made runs in the NCAA tournament, but I want to talk about players that are 25 or younger, has nothing to do with the MVP. Now, for a TV audience, you're going to see some of these numbers on the side. We put them up there. Listen, if you want to throw some money, that's up to you. I am not advising anyone out there to make any MVP bets on any of the players on this list, but this is my top 10 players under the age of 25. And why do we do this? Because this is going to be the next generation of great players here. And I want to start at number 10 with a guy that's a two-time All-Star now and a Skills Challenge champion and blue collar. Like, you don't think of Domantas Sabonis as superstar, and he's not, but he is a star, and he is young at 24 years old, does a little bit of everything. I thought this was pretty cool. One of only three players in the NBA averaging 20, 11-6 through the season. You know the other two guys? Jokic and Giannis. We're in your list. And you're on a list with Giannis and Jokic. You are certainly doing something correct. All right, bone of contention for our betting around the rim staff here is where I put some of the Celtics, and we'll talk about it. I have Jaylen Brown at number 9. And if we're going to be honest with you, I was tinkering with him anywhere from 7, 8, or 9. I have Jaylen Brown at number 9 as a one-time All-Star. Probably should have been one last year. The numbers have been really, really good. And early on in the year, he was on a pace to do things that only Larry Bird had done for the Celtics. But they've fallen just a hair. You know, giving you, what, 24.3, 5.5. I look over to the side just to make sure I'm getting you the stats right. 3.9 assists, 1.2 steals. The thing about Jaylen Brown that maybe isn't spoken about enough, and it's the reason why he's number 9 here, but could easily be, like I said, 6, 7, 8, is the way he plays defense. And I do believe that defense does matter. Jaylen Brown is an elite wing defender, and being number 9 on a list of the best players at 25 or younger, listen, it's nothing to scoff at. You should be happy. Jaylen Brown, you are number 9. At number 8, Trae Young. Okay, so Trae, this goes to, he could easily be higher too if he could just play some defense. 22 years old. The shooting percentages, while they're never great, they're better this year. We're seeing the 3-point percentage at a career high for him. I'd like to see the assists a little bit higher. Shoots 87% from the free throw line. We love that number. Taking his game to another level under Nate McMillan? I would say yes. I would say that John Collins is better because Trae Young is taking his game to another level. I would say that Clint Capella is better because Trae Young is a leader on this team. And I don't have his clutch numbers in front of me. Like, I know that Damian Lillard is top in the NBA in clutch moments, and the Blazers are one of the top teams in clutch moments. But just my eye test tells you that Trae Young is a clutch individual. I love me some Trae Young. Again, don't get mad. He's number 8. He also could have been higher. Also could have been a little bit lower. Donovan Mitchell at number 7. Of all the players on this list, there's probably just two that have a legit chance to win an NBA championship this year. And Donovan is one of them. He's the leader of the Utah Jazz. The knock on him, the shooting percentage. It's just, you know, lackluster. It's down from where it has been. But the 3-point percentage, that's up to 38.1. He also, I won't say elite defender like Jaylen Brown, but I'll say borderline elite. Above average, excellent, really good, great, tremendous, fantastic, whatever it is that you want to talk about. He fits that bill, and we're following along him as he came from what he did in the bubble to now with the Utah Jazz, best team in the NBA. He fits the mold. He's number 7. Number 6, it's Ben Simmons. If Ben Simmons had a 3-point shot, he might be number 1 on this list, if we're going to be totally honest, because he's the best defender on this list. He is the most devastating offensive talent if he had a 3-pointer, but he doesn't. He's working on a hook shot. I like that. I like the fact that he's doing it. Over almost 2 steals per game, which is 6th best in the NBA. His points per game is solid. You just saw that TV audience at over 16 points per game. The assists per game around 8. Dude, 6'10". I love me some Ben Simmons. I'm in on Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons at number 6 is good. Number 5, it's Bam Adebayo. And if 2 years ago you would have told me, Keith, you're going to put Bam Adebayo on a top 10 list, I would have said, Keith, you're crazy. No way is Bam going to end up being a star, but he has. And I don't know if this is a Miami Heat like culture thing, if this is a Eric Spoelstra thing, or if it's just a Bam is great at basketball thing, because Bam Adebayo is, you know, giving you big numbers. I'll read them for you. 19.2, 9.5, 5.4 assists. He should be on the list of best defenders. Also, again, do you notice that I'm giving you guys that play both sides of the ball often with these players? Bam is really, really good. And he's number 5 on this list. He probably could have been higher. I considered putting him at number 4. But I got to give you number 4. It's Devin Booker. He could be higher if he played better defense. It's a Suns team that is cruising along. I think playing along with Chris Paul, Booker's learning how to be a leader, and Devin Booker continues to strive for greatness.
Yeah, just trying to be a complete player. And that's playing both ends. And that's, you know, doing everything, you know, out there. You know, not just scoring the ball and not just defending. Setting screens for my teammates, making the right play, and hitting, you know, a couple clutch baskets. But, you know, I'm happy with the win tonight after a back-to-back.
Yeah, that was from the other night for Devin Booker. The numbers, by the way, the points per game are down. The assists are a little bit up. And I love that quote there that he says, whatever it is, whether it's setting a screen, he just wants to win. Devin Booker is someone I would want to be in a foxhole with. I would go to war with on my team. I love Devin Booker. I also love the number three player, and it's Jason Tatum. I know John James wanted me to put him higher on this one, and Jason Tatum is awesome. Jason Tatum, I'd like to see him play a little bit more defense. Two times an all-star game performer this past year because of injuries, ended up being a starter, stepped in for Kevin Durant. Jason Tatum is the clear leader for the Boston Celtics, but it's a Celtics team that's struggling, so I can't put him any higher than this. The numbers are awesome. They're gaudy. 25.1, 7 rebounds per game. You're getting over a steal per game. I like it. I like all of these numbers. Jason Tatum at number three is great. Number two, number one, it was tough for me. You guys know my love for Zion Williamson. You know my love for Luka Doncic. We're watching Zion Williamson do things that we haven't seen since like Shaq, right? And Rick Carlisle, when he says that Zion Williamson is Shaquille O'Neal, but he's got point guard skills, that is something you have to take note of. Zion Williamson is absolutely box office material, an all-star, 31% usage rate this season. You got to start wondering about, like, when will he get into MVP conversations? I'm battling an injury right now, shooting almost 63% from the field, 35% from the three-point line. His free throw percentage is up as well, up to almost 70%. Zion Williamson is so good, but so is Luka Doncic. Luka the Don came into the year as the odds-on favorite for the MVP award. Continues to slip down, right, because the Mavericks weren't very good. Mavericks are good now. Luka's going to be someone we're talking about. Field goal percentage is up. Three-point percentage is now up. He actually plays like a modicum of defense now. 22 years old. He's a walking triple-double. Luka is the best player under 25 years old. Up next, one of the best over 25, Joe Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here, Betting Around the Rim. Keith Irizarry with you on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, MSG Networks, and the streaming devices. Joe Lisi joins us now, as he does each and every week. Go for the two on social media. Joe, we have a running theme here. I decided not to tell you off the air on purpose. So early on in the show, we were talking about some like cheesy concerts we've gone to, and I was talking about Boys to Men that I went to their concert with my wife a couple of years ago. And it was, you know, it's so hard to say goodbye because Cade Cunningham is going pro. Kofsky then talked about how he went to NSYNC. We had Rick Harrell talking about Backstreet Boys. John Shames went to, you know, Sarah Bareilles. I need from you, what is a cheesy concert you've gone to that you probably would be embarrassed to tell us right now on television, but I'm going to force you to do it.
Well, how about this? When my sister was 12, she was in love with 98 Degrees. I took her to PNC Park for an outdoor concert with 98 Degrees, Nick Lachey, prior to the Jessica Simpson marriage, okay? And like a Nickelodeon tour. So that was like, that was back in the day. So that's the weirdest. I'm sitting around with my sister and a bunch of kids watching this concert play out going, what am I doing here? You know,
that is that, you know what? That fits the bill. That is a really good one. The boy band thing is just, it's complete now. I don't know. We meet. Hopefully when Wob comes on later, he'll tell me he went to like New Kids on the Block or something like that, because then it would all come full circle. All right. We got a final four. Let's start here. Level, before we break down the both games, level of surprise by you that these are the four teams that are here. I would imagine Gonzaga, Baylor, you're not shocked. For the other two, are you surprised?
No, I picked the Baylor-Houston matchup, and Houston's my team to move on. The biggest surprise for me, Keith, is the UCLA Bruins. You know, I was on them early in terms of the playoff play-in game against Michigan State. They got it done. They followed that up with a gutty victory over BYU. But from that period of the Sweet 16 to where we are now, and the close victory over the Michigan Wolverines, that's the head-scratcher for me. And quite honestly, I actually think they give a game to the Gonzaga Bulldogs a little bit later. Not sure if they'll pull this game out, but I think they cover this number later today.
Man, you and I have been on the opposite side of Gonzaga and covering the spread. You know what I said earlier in the show? I'm taking Gonzaga to cover. I think that when I look at UCLA, I refuse to call them Cinderella, and I would assume you agree with me because, I mean, Coach makes a lot of money. It's a historical program, right? I think that the other shoe falls today. I think Gonzaga is just too strong. The things that Gonzaga does well or great are the things that UCLA just does well. So, like, great supersedes well. Tell me then. Let's dive into UCLA. If they are to stay close and maybe even win this game, what do they need to do today?
Carbon copy of what they did against the Michigan Wolverines the other night. They need to slow the tempo, get them into a street fight, an ugly sort of game where Gonzaga has to be patient. And if you go through the regular season, you saw teams like St. Mary's where they, you know, can play for a half, right? We saw Santa Clara earlier in the regular season go toe-to-toe with Gonzaga, BYU as well. But, you know, those were higher scoring games. I think you need a lower scoring game. Get Gonzaga into the, you know, mid-60s in terms of that matchup where you're in striking distance with about 5 minutes left, and I think anything can happen. I'll say this about the breakdown, though, too, Keith. You know, up until this point, they've been a very confident, loose bunch. Now they can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Does that start to creep in terms of where they might get a little tight in terms of this assessment and then laying the big number? That's why I'm back in UCLA in this matchup.
Joe, I think that's a fantastic point by you, by the way, bringing up the fact that, like, you see the, you know, the end is near. Like, four games ago, you go, all right, we know history can be had, but there's a lot in front of us. Like, could you? Yeah, I like that. All right, so on the Gonzaga side of things, of the trio of guys that will be playing pro basketball, you know, whether it's in the NBA or not, Jalen Suggs, Kispert clearly will, Drew Timmy probably will be, and even Jay Ajayi, we throw him in there as well. Which player is the most important for Gonzaga today?
I think it's Suggs. You know, to me, he's the spark plug. He is the guy that makes things happen, and everybody else just cleans it up to me. You know, that's just when he's on and when he's locked in and dialed in, they're so hard to beat. So for me, it is Suggs. You know, as he goes, so does this Gonzaga offense and everybody else. Now, you know, Timmy's been the guy that, you know, has just been dominating under the boards. You need to put a body on him. UCLA needs to box him out and force him to work, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball as well. Force him to move around. I think that's where they can get some easy buckets, because we know about the inconsistency about the perimeter shooting game for UCLA.
We're always looking for an edge. So let's do this. Who do you give the edge to as the coach today in this? Is it Few? Is it Cronin? Who do you give the edge?
I give it to Cronin in the sense of he's a blue collar type of guy. Right. And that's, they have been playing with a mindset since the playoff game. I just feel like, you know, it's us against them type of mentality for UCLA. And as we've seen them progress, they don't care who's in front of them. Number one seed Michigan. Okay, we'll take care of business. We have to, you know, fight to get into the playoff against Michigan State. Yeah, no problem. One of the hottest teams in the country at that time. So that mindset has really built the mental resolve of this team. So I think they're going to come in as a confident group. And that's a testament to what Mick Cronin has built in this program.
I think it's been fun seeing what UCLA has done thus far. Again, he is Joe Lisi. Joining me, Keith Irizarry, Bettinger on the Rim. Let's go to the early game, Houston and Baylor. I've been in on Baylor all year long. You know that. You've been in on Houston. This is another one. I think if it's a street fight, as you just said in the last game, I think Houston wins if it's a street fight. Can they make it a street fight?
I think they can. You know, the biggest thing for Baylor over the last couple of games is their ability to get out and run, right? They dominated Arkansas. They had a 13-point early first half lead, but Houston as well. Now, the level of competition for Houston up until this point hasn't been as good. Syracuse was a lower-ranked seed. So was Oregon State at the 12 seed. But I love the trio that they have, Sasser, Giroux, Grimes. I mean, they are as confident as anybody. They mirror what Baylor likes to do, right? They wear you down on the defensive side of the ball. They're in your face at every point of attack. And then they just, you know, wear you down. Next thing you know, it's a three-point game, and they extend it to 10 and 12. So this is the best game of the weekend for me. I'm dialed into the Houston Cougars in this matchup. I picked them at the start, and I'm not backing down now. You know, I think I'll find a way to get this done. But Keith, I think this game is going to be playing on 4 points the whole way. I don't think one or two teams, either team, gets out to like an 8 or 10 point lead in this ballgame.
Yeah, it's funny they say that. I agree. I think this stays close, and I think this is one of those games that you probably don't have a lot of value in-game betting this. I don't think we're going to see any like weird shifts in this one where suddenly someone, you have some great value there. Guys, behind the scenes, I want you guys to bring up the MLP odds again because I want to ask Joe about this. So if Houston were to win against Baylor and then you go into the NCAA final, you can see the numbers here. A few of the guys that you just mentioned for Houston, where's the best value? Who might you be throwing something at?
Well, I think it comes down to two players. You know, it's Grimes for Houston. I don't know if Sasser can carry this team. He's been an inconsistent shooter, turned the ball over. It has been Grimes carrying this Houston Cougar team. So I'm backing them. If you like Baylor, you got to go with Jared Butler. You know, he's the spark plug for that offense as well. And then, you know, obviously the favorites early on, but, you know, I think it will be Houston. I think whoever wins this Baylor-Houston matchup ultimately is the national champion this year. Ooh. So I'm only looking at Baylor-Houston in terms of those props.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Gonzaga. I'm going to, just like you, rolling with the players and teams that you've been going with, I'm going to stay with Gonzaga. I've been saying it from the beginning of the year. I believe they could go undefeated. They are on the pace right there. So I see at least it's plus money for all of them. I don't go Timmy here. I would probably go Kispert or maybe go to what you said, Jalen Suggs. Maybe Jalen Suggs is a big Monday night. Before we, you know, move on to other things, let's talk about Texas Tech and Texas. Chris Beard, jumping ship, going from Texas Tech to Texas. We still don't have the monetary numbers and what this will mean for Chris Beard, but what is Texas getting in this coach?
A blue-collar guy, right? And it's amazing because I don't know if his style fits the mantra of the Texas Longhorns. You know, he was a great fit for those 2- and 3-star recruits in Lubbock. I don't know if that's going to fly in Texas.
Ooh, interesting. So, and I take it as blue collar is going to work immediately. And I think Texas, the cupboard's not bare. I think Chris Beard is an awesome coach. I think they're a Sweet 16 team like next year with Chris Beard. Let's move from there to now this news that's kind of circulating a little bit, that Porter Moser might leave for Oklahoma. Like, this looked like he was a match made in heaven at Loyola. Oklahoma, what would they be getting?
Again, another blue-collar coach, but a disciplined coach, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think both coaches, when you look at Beard and Moser, I mean, that's what they predicate, right? They want a physicality. They want to outwork you. They want to out-endure you for 40 minutes, and that's what they got with both of those teams. And you know, if he goes to Oklahoma has been on the cusp, and they were one of the hottest teams in the Big 12 with Lon Kruger this year and Austin Reeves at the middle of the season, tailed off to the end of the season, and I think that's where Moser will give you the consistency from week to week for the Oklahoma Sooners.
Up against it here, but I got to get your take on Roy Williams stepping aside, who you think is the odds-on favorite to get that job.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know who might get that job. I don't know who the odds-on, but I'll tell you this about Roy Williams, great coach, all-time winningest coach there. I just think he's done an unbelievable job.
If Gonzaga wins the title on Monday night, If North Carolina calls Mark Few on Tuesday morning, does Mark Few consider that job? Really fast, yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right, coming up next, we're going to dive back into the world of the NBA. It's Betting Around the Rim. I'm Keith Irizarry.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, how goes it? Betting Around the Rim, Keith Irizarry with you. Bring on our guest each and every Saturday morning at this time, worldwide. Wow, Rob Perez joins us now from FanDuel. Follow him on social media platforms. And all right, so Rob, we got to bring you into the fold here. All morning long, we have been talking about like cheesy concerts that we've gone to. I started off with Boys to Men, and it was because I'd said a line about it's so hard to say goodbye to Cade Cunningham. I went with my wife a couple of years ago. Kofsky's been to NSYNC. John has been to Sarah Bareilles. We had Rick Haro talking about going to Backstreet Boys. We had Joe Lisi talking about bringing his sister to 98 Degrees. So I ask you now, what's a cheesy concert that you should be embarrassed about admitting, but I'm forcing you to answer on television?
Well, there's a little caveat to the answer because the guy was actually pretty good, but I've been to the number one Elvis impersonators concert, and that was during this pandemic as well. It was an outdoor concert, and it was awesome. Was it cheesy? Yeah. I mean, the Elvis, it wasn't the real Elvis, but I'd never been to an Elvis concert because I'm not nearly old enough, and I went to an Elvis concert, and it was good. So it was cheesy, yeah. I mean, I guess Elvis is cheesy in 2021, but it was damn good.
I think you won. Ding, ding, ding. I think you win with your choices. That is fantastic. Yeah. I did not expect that to come for you. Before we get into the NBA, I know you're a North Carolina guy. Roy Williams is stepping aside. First, what is your like lasting thoughts on Roy Williams as the leader of UNC?
He's going to take two timeouts with him to the Hall of Fame, and that's what he does best, is just not call timeouts. It drives Carolina fans crazy. But at the end of the day, the man made had three national titles, I think five Final Fours. And while I may disagree with him in terms of the way he coaches X's and O's, you can't take that ever away from him. He saved North Carolina basketball program from the depths of the Matt Doherty days and took his team to win a national title with. So it's of course, you know, it's he's going to be Carolina born, Carolina bred forever.
And who should be next? I gave a list before, some of the big names, and then the last person I mentioned was Hubert Davis. So who should be the guy?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the monarchy. So whether it was Smith, Guthridge, to even Doherty to Williams, I like it staying in the Carolina family. And Roy Williams took it to another level that he would only hire former players or people that, you know, either worked with him or played under him. And for me, that's Hubert Davis. He's put in the work on the assistant coaching staff. He's got the respect of the players. He's got the respect of the Carolina alum, all the above. So for me, I think you stay in the family with either Hubert Davis or Wes Miller from UNC Greensboro.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. I mean, I think that, you know, Mark Few, if you make the phone call and he says yes, well, then, you know, maybe we change the conversation. But I think you stay inside the family. The LA Lakers are making moves. They added Andre Drummond. He immediately gets hurt. When Drummond signed with the Lakers, what was your first reaction?
Hooray. not a whole lot more than that. But he's going to bring some much-needed depth because they need bodies. And they got a big win last night in Sacramento, which we'll talk about in a second. But at the very least, what Andre Drummond does is give them options. You don't want to have Marc Gasol at this point in his career out there for 32 to 35 minutes. And Andre Drummond solves that. Yeah, I understand he got hurt in his first game. I'd be pretty hurt, too, if I was missing a toenail. But this is not an Andre Drummond, which is a guaranteed 25-20. And even if it was, it's not like that 25-20 helps you, because we can have a whole nother show on why his stats are the biggest smoke in recent NBA history. But you know what? With the Lakers last night, they get a massive win that's going to hold down the fort until LeBron and AD get back. You know, they're nearing 500 since their absences. And even after everything that's gone on, Keith, by the way, this Lakers team is still the number one squad in the NBA with defensive rating. They are the best rated defense in the NBA without the defensive player of the year, if he was healthy, in Anthony Davis. And even LeBron, some people were saying LeBron should win defensive player of the year. He hasn't been there either. Yet they've held down the fort. So when you have your leading scorers being THT, Kuzma, KCP, and you're still near 500, I understand they had some bunnies against Cleveland in Orlando, it's still impressive that they're still holding on for dear life, because they don't want to fall down to that play-in tournament.
Yeah, I'm with you. What do you make, and again, Worldwide Wob joining me, Keith or Azari Benning around the rim, what do you make of Marc Gasol's comments about, you know, feeling like he's getting put in a shelf and he's like a C or a D plan?
Then why did he re-sign? What did they expect for, you know, what should he have expected coming back to the team? You were headed to Spain to play professionally over there. The Lakers convinced you to stay. And I'm sure the Lakers didn't say, well, we want you to run 35 to 40 minutes. Maybe if this wasn't a championship team, you could get away with doing that. But Marc Gasol ain't playing no 35 minutes on an NBA champion squad at this point in his career. So somewhere there was some miscommunication either with Marc Gasol's understanding or potentially what the Lakers told him. But on no planet should that man be on the floor for more than 15 to 17 minutes.
All right, here's some bad journalism for you. You're not supposed to ask like a legit yes-no question, but I'm going to do it. Boogie Cousins going to the Clippers, does it make them better?
It's definitely not a yes or a no. I mean, that's a loaded question, because we know at this point in his career what Boogie brings, and there's a reason why he hasn't been signed immediately yet after leaving the Rockets. I'm convinced that DeMarcus Cousins can still go get you buckets and be a microwave scorer. The problem is we know all the intangibles that he brings as well. Does he bring you defense? Right? Does he bring you rebounding? Does he need the ball in his hands to be effective? Because you don't need that on a Clippers team which has Paul George, which has Marcus Morris and Kawhi Leonard and guys that can score the rock, right? We don't need to just dump it to Boogie and go get us 2 points. Ivica Zubac should be considered for one of the most, he won't be, but should be considered one of the most improved players in the NBA, because his evolution as a basketball player has been really, really impressive, and he fits in perfectly with this team. So if you bring in DeMarcus Cousins, does that mean less Ivica Zubac's minutes? And if the answer to that question is a yes or no, and the answer is yes, then I don't want it, because we already have Serge Ibaka to back him up, and he's a perfect fit as well. Too many chefs in the kitchen, I think, DeMarcus Cousins to the Clippers.
I like how you got to that last line there. Perfect. We just had our NBA championship odds up, and obviously the Nets and Lakers are big-time favorites here. Where's some value for our viewers? Where can they find value here as we sit here on April 3rd?
I'm probably looking at those three at the bottom, not at the very bottom, but the 76ers, the Nuggets, and the Heat. The 76ers are 1,300, the Nuggets 1,800, the Heat 3,000, and the reasons for the three are similar, but a little different in a way. Let me explain. The 76ers, if they get a healthy Joel Embiid back, they have basketball Godzilla. They have who would have been the MVP of the NBA if he stayed healthy the entire season. And he may still end up winning it anyway. I don't know if there's any player in the league right now that can match up with him, not named Bam Adebayo, and not get fouled out within 10 minutes. Joel Embiid is that good. And a Brooklyn Nets team, yeah, they've got some serious firepower, but Joel Embiid will eat them alive if he gets the ball within 10 feet of the rim. So if anyone has the antidote to beat the Nets, one of the best defensive squads in the league with the potential defensive player of the year in Ben Simmons and an interior presence like it's 1999 all over again with Shaquille O'Neal, the 76ers are there. And real quick with the Nuggets, we saw already what they did back in the bubble, and they have assembled a squad which I think has been able to replace Jeremy Grant. So we know, right? Yeah, go ahead, because I think the Nuggets warrant a different conversation here.
Yeah, I think they do, and you mentioned this either a week or two ago about Jeremy Grant, and that's why I want you said his name again right now, And he's been really good in Detroit, and good for him. He went and got his money there. But it was about replacing him and some, you know, Gary Harris now gone. When you view this Denver Nuggets team, like, what prism are you viewing them through? Because I see a lot of talent there now.
So you lose, I'm going to ask you a question back, Keith. You lose Gary Harris and you lose Jeremy Grant. What's the one word to mind of something that you don't have anymore?
Defense.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the correct answer. That's a whole lot of defense that went out the window. Those are your two best perimeter defenders. And while Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic are the team's MVPs, right? They carry, we know what they do and what they did and what they're capable of. They're the ones who put the ball in the bucket. Jeremy Grant, in my opinion, was the most important player on the Denver Nuggets, the same way I argue that Draymond Green is the most important player on the Dynasty Warriors. And for that reason, it's because Jeremy Grant goes out there and is able to contain the other team's best player. And if you get to the Western Conference Finals, that's going to be a LeBron James. That's even potentially an Anthony Davis, a Kawhi Leonard, a Paul George. Jeremy Grant has the ability to go out there and neutralize that opponent as good as anybody in the league. And you don't have that anymore. So at the trade deadline, I challenge the Denver Nuggets. If you want to be taken seriously, you have to find a way to replace that. And I think they did. I think they may have. We have a really small sample size. It's only 64 minutes. But with Aaron Gordon on the floor in the Will Barton into the starting lineup, they are plus 48. Again, there's some legit opponents that they've faced, whether it's the Clippers and the Hawks. They've had some tough games. And Aaron Gordon has showed up. Now, do I trust Aaron Gordon right now? Not. I need to see a little bit more before I sign off on it. But if Aaron Gordon is able to provide that athleticism in defense that Jeremy Grant left behind, I will start to believe that, yes, a Western Conference Finals appearance and maybe even a win could be possible if it all comes together.
Definitely a small sample size, but you're right. Concrete numbers, we're seeing what the Nuggets can be. The Utah Jazz are still slept on. You and I, about 6 weeks ago, did a little three-minute piece on the Jazz, and you spoke to the Jazz fans and they loved it, and we love the Jazz. Why are we still kind of sleeping on the Jazz, who have the best record in the NBA?
Because they play in, it says Utah on the front of their jerseys. That's why. They haven't lost a game at home. They're undefeated at home. They're back on a 6-game winning streak. Nobody cares. And to be honest, it has the same vibes of the Dallas Mavericks back in the day when they would get the 1 or the 2 seed every year. Nobody cared. Peyton Manning would get the 1 seed with the Indianapolis Colts. Nobody cared because they want to see what they do in the playoffs. And that's fair. But this may be the team. If they make the conference finals, I would consider that a successful season, win or lose, from the Utah Jazz. And they clearly have the team to do it, all right? Yeah. Do they get punched in the mouth sometimes and they're not able to play in the half court against these grinded out type of defenses? Yeah, and you're going to need that 4 out of 7 times, which is why people are pumping the brakes on them winning the title. But, of course, they deserve all the accolades because they are the league's best team right now, and they're sustainable over the course of a 72-game regular season. They got crazy depth. If Donovan Mitchell can ascend to the level of a superstar that can close out games against the LeBrons of the world and the Kawhi Leonards, we've seen him do it against the Denver Nuggets. We've seen him do it and send home Russell Westbrook in his rookie and second years, right? Can he do it now 3 series in a row as opposed to 1? Can he take that next step to be one of those 10 guys that if he's on your team, you are automatically a championship contender? There's only about 5 right now. Donovan Mitchell's not there. But he needs to become one of those guys for the Jazz to get to the next level.
Before I let you go, I opened the show talking about the roller coaster that is the MVP awards, right? And how many different players can be on that team. How about Damian Lillard now at plus 1,600? Is that the best value you see on this graphic?
Yeah, it's starting to get late early for Damian Lillard. I'm heavily invested in Damian Lillard, and yep, I certainly think he has the narrative, but he needs to turn it back on and put up these 50-point games real quick because Nikola Jokic is running away with it. The man does not stop putting up gigantic triple-doubles, and not just stats, but the eye test. He is the reason why the Denver Nuggets are where they are, and they are 13 whatever games over 500 at this point, is because of Nikola Jokic. It's certainly not Jamal Murray. So if the season ended today, Nikola Jokic easily wins. But Damian Lillard, as always, has the narrative.
Sportsgrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. Sportsgrid.com.
Almost done. It is so cool when you're doing things you love. It flies by so quick. Shout out to my entire crew here. Dominates each and every Saturday and Sunday. Kofsky and Shames are here all the time. Parker, sometimes it's Sarah, James, or Tyler, or Ty. And then, of course, you know, the guys behind the scenes, really behind the scenes, Steve and EJ, always dominating with the graphics. And speaking of, let's bring up some graphics. Let's do some best bets. I love this FanDuel bet here. The Pats super boost, Gonzaga and Baylor just to win. Moneyline, plus 100. I mean, it's not like you're getting great, you know, bang for your buck here. But again, you know, $100 takes you 100, and I'll take it. And I am a firm believer. I know Joe Lisi thinks Houston is going to be Baylor, but Gonzaga's going to win today. Baylor's going to win today. I don't know if either cover. I have a lean for them, but I don't feel so strongly on that one. So let's go Gonzaga and Baylor just on the money line. Give me my plus 100. I'm in. Now, my next one, this gets tricky. I'm going to do a five-team NBA parlay. It is the first time on Betting Around the Rim that we are putting this type of parlay in for a best bet. Let's go with the Heat, Sixers, Jazz, and Blazers. All of them are double-digit favorites. Heat over the Cavs, Sixers over the Timberwolves, Jazz over the Mavericks, Blazers over the Thunder. All of them win tonight. We might even get, you know, some Joel Embiid back in the lineup. And then I'm going to sprinkle in, just to get my odds to plus money, give me the Mavs to beat the Wizards. We talked about a little bit earlier in hour number one, how great Dallas is playing. And we're going to go under the assumption that Luka and KP will both be on the floor today against the Wizards, a team that is struggling mightily. I know Westbrook is going for triple doubles galore, but this feels good to me. 5-team NBA parlay, Heat, Sixers, Jazz, Blazers, Mavs, all on the money line. We're going money line today. I like it. Again, thanks to all our guests. Thanks for having some fun with us as we were talking about like cheesy music as well. And thanks to you guys for watching. Remember, if you can't trust me, how can you trust yourself? I am Keith Irizarry. Back at it again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern.